If you'll take your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to a few passages of Scripture that you'll find in the book of Numbers. Actually, there are several chapters in the book of Numbers that are a profound parenthesis of a particular, peculiar person by the name of Balaam. Actually, three whole chapters are given to us concerning this man, and I think there's a good reason for it. Balaam was a man that knew the things of God. He had great light, great understanding. He saw things from a high perspective. He understood how God worked. He had an understanding as to the ways of God. He actually even knew how to get to God. The various sacrifices. I mean, he did everything. He had three sacrifices that he offered up. He did it the proper way, strictly according to the law. He knew the ways of God. It had been revealed to him who the people of God were. He knew that Israel was the people of God. He had the same degree of light as Abraham did. I mean, even in these chapters, and I'm not going to read three chapters. I would like to this morning, probably, but I won't. But he had the same understanding as Abraham. He had the understanding as Moses and David. It's clear that, well, even when he tried to curse the people, he said, I can't curse them because they are a blessed people. Notice like in verse 11 of chapter 22 of Numbers. Numbers chapter 22, verse 11. He said, these are a people that come up out of Egypt. He said, they cover the face of the earth. Now come, curse me then. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them. But Balaam could not curse them because look at verse 12. God had said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. He learned hurriedly that they were a blessed people. That if you bless the people of Israel, then you will be blessed. If you curse the people of Israel, you would be cursed. He had this tremendous degree of light. Now, most of us know the story about Balaam. If you don't, I'll hurriedly give it to you. I'm not sure what kind of character he was. I know that he had tremendous understanding. Sometimes he's referred to as a prophet. We look in the book of Joshua. I think it's Joshua chapter 13. I think it's around verse 6, something like that. No, verse 22, chapter 13 of Joshua. That he is referred to as a soothsayer. Some kind of person who's involved in witchcraft or things like that. Some tapped into some demonic forces. He's a very peculiar person. But he's not only referred to in the Old Testament, but he's also referred to in the New Testament. Even in the church, there's a reference to him about people adhering to or hearing, listening to the counsel of Balaam. Balak was the king, and it's kind of confusing when you say Balak and Balaam, but Balak was the king. He was paranoid about the people of Israel. He knew that the people of Israel were having great victory over the other nations, and so he got paranoid and he sought out means to take out Israel. And so he consulted with Balaam, who I'm not sure if he was involved in witchcraft or what, but he caused Israel to sin a great sin. That's what the Bible says. He caused Israel to sin a great sin. Now, you know, there were several things that Balaam was not capable of doing. First of all, when Balak, the king of Moab, called on him to curse the people of Israel, he could not do it. Now, of course, when they tried to get him to go to do this, he contemplated doing it. He was greedy. He contemplated doing this. We all know about the donkey speaking to him, right? He contemplated doing this, and there was death in the way, and the donkey spoke to him. The donkey saved his life, right? I mean, he heard the donkey. Do y'all really believe the donkey spoke? You know, there's domestic animals that have more sense than us sometimes. I'm going to say that again. This includes saint and sinner, okay? At times there are domestic animals that have more sense than us. And that was the case concerning Balaam. There was a donkey that spoke to him. And he said, you know, God is angry. God's upset. God's going to kill you if you go down there and you curse the people of Israel. Don't even think about it. Now, of course, he wasn't able to do this, but he had great understanding, and he had these parables. You can like look in chapter 23 and verse 18, how that he spoke. Actually, they were presentations of God's word, I guess you might say, or presentations or understanding or visions. He could see. He saw spiritual things. Here was a man that saw spiritual things. He knew the people of Israel were a blessed people, that he could not curse them. God would not let him because he had that understanding, or he had that knowledge. He did not do it and would not do it. Of course, this made the king mad. He called on him to curse the people of Israel, but he didn't. Instead, he blessed them. But he had this understanding. I mean, he even knew about redemption. He knew about the sacrifices, how necessary it was to have a sacrifice or bloodshed in order to enter into the presence of God. I mean, he told us about the star in Bethlehem. Balaam did. He knew about the star in Bethlehem, which maybe even prompted the wise men to come from the east. Look there in like chapter 24, verse 17. He says, a star of Jacob. Not only did he know about the king, Jesus Christ, being born, about the star that would appear. He talked about the scepter that he would have, how that he would rule the nations. I mean, this man had great understanding, not only about Israel and about the way of redemption, but about Jesus Christ being the king. He understood a lot of spiritual, religious things. What was the great sin? What was the great sin that this man committed? It was a sin against knowledge. Actually, what happened, see, the king wanted to pay him a large sum of money to curse Israel. He couldn't curse them and take the king's money, but instead he kind of secretly got the king aside and said, look, I can't curse them, but I can tell you the way that they will be cursed. Now, he had realized that the people of Israel were a separate, holy people. I wish God's people understood that today. We are to be a separate, holy people, a chosen people, sanctified unto the Lord. And he had that understanding of Israel. He clearly, in his parables, in his preaching or his presentation, whatever you want to call it, I don't really believe he was a God's prophet or did preaching, but he had understanding. He had understanding of the way. He had understanding of the people of God. He had all this comprehension, this understanding. He was a seer. The Bible calls him a seer in these passages. Notice, and there's many of them, and I'm not going to go through all of these various passages, but he was a seer. You can look like 23 and 18, look in 24 and 3 and 24 and 15. It's clear that he was a seer. He understood. He had visions. He understood the ways and systems of God, yet he had his own agenda. And he took the king aside, and he secretly said, King, let me tell you how they can be cursed. I'll tell you how you can mess up Israel. You send your girls over there and get them to fornicate with them, with Israel, and turn them from their gods, where they would turn to other gods and worship idols, and God will curse them. The sin of Balaam, a sin against knowledge. Now, let's turn to a couple of passages of Scripture that I think will be prevalent for us today. He had a personal agenda, though he personally knew the truth of God. He knew spiritual things. He had been associated with spiritual things. But he did not adhere to them when it was in objection to or in violation of his own agenda. Let's look in the book of Revelation just for a moment. Revelation chapter 1. No, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Let's notice this. The doctrine of Balaam. Does it still exist in the church today? So what did Balaam did? He caused the people of Israel to sin, a great sin. He shared this inside knowledge with the king, which would cause Israel, and you read the next chapter, and that's exactly what happened. You read the next chapter over there in the book of Numbers, and it clearly spells out for us, chapter 25, the people of Israel, when they were in Shittim, how that the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab.
25:1. And they called the people unto sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to these idol gods. There's a lot of attractive things out there in the world that can lure us from God. Are you listening to me? The devil can't get us to sin, some great sin, but he may simply entice us or draw us away through success, through other means, through other ways. Now, I want us to notice something in these passages of Scripture that I think are important. Look in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. Here it says, He says, I have a few things against thee. Because thou hast there, then hold the doctrine of Balaam. What did Balaam do? Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Now, he caused a stumbling block to be cast before the children of Israel to prevent them from doing the right things or the will of God. Now, there's such a thing as sinning against knowledge, having inside information. And using that information wrongly is a sin. And that's what Balaam actually did. He had inside information. He used it in a sinful way and brought about chaos. And actually, I think there's like 22,000 people that were destroyed. He caused a great plague to set up in Israel. Now, what is the practical lesson? Why is it that in three places, like in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, why did Jude in chapter 1, verse 11, talk about the sin of Balaam? Why did Peter the apostle talk about the sin of Balaam? Why did John the apostle, under divine inspiration, tell the church that somebody had adopted the doctrine of Balaam in the church? Committed the sin of Balaam. Is that sin prevalent today in the Church of Jesus Christ? All this inside information, but not conforming to the will of God. What is God's will for us? Is it more important than our own agenda? Is it? Balaam was very popular. Balaam was very important. Balaam had enough sense not to cross the line, not to expose himself. And yet he was holding back the very core of his soul. His soul was corrupt. You may disagree with me, but I believe Balaam's soul was corrupt. He was in a special place and had special understanding, but his motives and his intentions were wrong. He had truth, he knew spiritual things, and yet he had his own personal agenda. Listen, the Lord's church is to be led by the Lord's agenda. Are y'all listening to me? I'm not saying this is an easy subject. The church had adopted, or someone or somebody in the church had a doctrine, the same system as Balaam. And what did Balaam do? Notice here, he provided inside information which caused other people, the true people of God, to stumble. He put a stumbling block or prevented the people of Israel from carrying out the will of God by committing an act of sin which was in violation to the will of God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, it says what he did. Actually, it says this, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. That's what Balaam did, to turn from the true and living God. You know what's worse than having your dad mad at you, or your mom mad at you, or your wife mad at you, or your husband mad at you, or your pastor mad at you, or your friends mad at you? You know what's worse than all that? Having God mad at you. You know what's worse than having an association upset with you, or other churches around you upset, or having deacons upset in your church? You know what's worse than all that? Having God upset with your church. Amen. I'm trying to tell you this morning, that same system still exists, where a stumbling block is placed before us that prevents us many times from fulfilling and accomplishing the will of God. I tell you what I believe and preach, and this is a very short sermon. I just want us to be aware of what goes on many times. I've seen the spirit of Balaam exist in the church in the 25 years I've been preaching. Balaamites, they're worse than Hittites or Amorites and Canaanites. Amen? There's an agenda before us, and it's God's agenda. We must do what God wants us to do, no matter what. No matter what other people think, no matter who it makes mad or angry. Amen? We must be so bent on fulfilling the will of God for us as a church, we won't let anyone put a stumbling block before us, no matter what happens. I don't know what this church was supposed to do, but I know there was somebody preventing it from being done. And he had adopted the system or doctrine or teachings of Balaam.